be raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Sums up God's salvation. Turning, you see, you have to turn. There has to be a turning point in your life. And if there's not if you can't point to a time, you know, in your life, maybe you can't put the day on it, the time, the exact time. But a point, you know that you can point to where you turned. The turning point in your life, yeah, that was the time. 20 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, whenever. That was the time when I turned. When I turned. That's what the word repentance means. A turning. Let the wicked forsake his way, his path of the living, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's called repentance in the Bible. You turn around. You do an about turn. You stop thinking your own thoughts after you. You stop thinking according to this world's view. But you change your worldview. You begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts revealed in His Word. Repentance is called. Turning. There has to be a turning point. There has to be a turning from the world, from Satan, from the devil, from even your own flesh life. There has to be a turning from everything and anything that you're trusting in. Whatever you're trusting in today, yeah? Maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe the Seventh-day Adventist, might be Islam, might be the Pope of Rome, whatever it is, secularism, Darwinism, whatever it might be, whatever it is that you're trusting in, whatever constitutes your world view, however you see this world, maybe you're just a plain old daft sinner, you know, and you see this world, you see everybody has a world view, everybody, yeah? How you view the world, how you see the world. Most of you, I dare say, you see the world as, you know, as having been made for you. It revolves around you, and everything and everybody in it must bow to you, must be subservient to whatever your needs might be at any given time. That's the norm, that's the normal worldview of people who are religious and people who are, they would call themselves secular. Just the same. So you see, in order to be saved, there has to be a turning from such a worldview. And you see the world from a different perspective. You see the world, well, because your eyes have been opened, because God by His grace has opened your eyes, and you see, you now see the world as being made for God, for His glory, and for the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see a totally, totally different worldview altogether. Because your eyes have been opened. in your heart even, when you changed your worldview and saw this world as being for God and for His glory, and yourself included. So how you turned from the world, and from the world's thinking, from your religious thinking, from your secular thinking, from your hatred, from your sin, from everything that you would call sin, turning from everything God calls sin, turning from it, and turning not to emptiness, not to more vanity, but turning to God. And there's only one way you can turn to God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Not through religion of man's making, not through religion of your own devising. You can devise your own religion, if you like. There's 9,900 religions in the world today, they tell me, according to the Oxford University Press. 9,900 religions in the world today. Take your pick, any one you please. But it's not turning to religion. It's not turning to religion. They'll put you in jail for all eternity. They'll put you in bondage. They'll put you in chains. I can't think of a more horrible bondage, you know, than being religion. You know, being brought up religious. I look at these people, you know, young people who subscribe to Islam, and they've been brought up in utter blackness and darkness and chains. What absolute and utter bondage, the poor souls. No light, no life, and no turning to God. Bible makes it clear, my friends, one way only, by which you can turn to God. And Jesus Christ says, I am that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way back to God. No other way, my friends. The gospel is the call of God to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is, my friends, it is a call to absolute intolerance. It's a call to absolute intolerance. The gospel of Jesus Christ will not tolerate the Pope of Rome. The gospel of Jesus Christ will not tolerate the Seventh-day Adventist society. The gospel of Jesus Christ will not tolerate Islam. The gospel of Jesus Christ will not tolerate anything that's contrary to God's truth revealed in the Bible. It's a call to absolute intolerance, my friends. You must be willing and you must be prepared to tolerate nothing, absolutely nothing. The call of the gospel will not tolerate evolutionism. The call of the gospel will not tolerate same-sex marriage. The call of the gospel will not tolerate abortion. The call of the gospel will not tolerate anything that is contrary to God's word, God's truth. It is a call to that which is absolutely intolerant, and God, I tell you, Himself is intolerant of anything that is contrary to His will, His holiness, His character, His truth. So there has to be a turning. You have to turn from your worldview, and you have to turn to God, but you must turn to God in the prescribed way. And the prescribed way, one way only, none other name under heaven, under the whole canopy of heaven, wherever you come from Afghanistan to Alaska, and everywhere else in between, no other name under heaven by which a man or a woman can turn to God. Only through God's Son, Jesus Christ, the appointed mediator. My friend, it's the blackness of man's heart that's the problem. A black heart, a heart full of the plague and the virus of sin, that's the problem. And as far as God is concerned, untouchable, unapproachable, unacceptable, cut off from God. But my friend, there is a way, a mediator, one who can bring us back to God, bring an end of the warfare, bring an end of the enmity, and reconcile you to God. But there has to be turning. There has to be a turning. A turning point in your life. Is it a day, a moment? Is it a month? Is it a year that you can point to and say, that's the time when I turned from my worldview and turned to God? From idols. Because you all got your idols. What's an idol? An idol is what you're trusting in. Anything. It can even be your mother and father. It can be the Pope of Rome. It can be false religion of any kind. It can be drugs. It can be alcohol. It can be anything in this world. Any created object. Any material object. Anything, I tell you, you're trusting in. Anything you're trusting in apart from God is an idol. An idol. So it's turning to God and turning from your idols, that is, you stop trusting in anything else and any other than God Himself through His Son Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Idolatry, my friends, is that which is contrary to God. Trusting in something contrary to God. And again, false religion. Your city's full of it. It's on every street corner. False religion. Not according to the truth. Not having received the love of the truth. Hating the truth, denying the truth, and propagating lies. And men put their trust in them. They put their trust in their institutions. They put their trust in their organizations. They put their trust in the Watchtower Society. They put their trust in Muhammad. They put their trust in the fictitious God of Allah. They put their trust in the Seventh-day Adventist. They put their trust in everything and anything but God. It's idolatry. Blasphemous idolatry. Cursed idolatry. It is for these things that the judgment of God is coming upon men. So what are you trusting in today? Well, if it's anything and anyone apart from God in Jesus Christ, you must turn from it and turn to God from your idol or your idols, plural, whatever they might be. It has to be forsaken. It has to be abandoned. It has to be turned from. And you must put your trust firmly and fully. That's what faith means. Faith, to have faith in Jesus Christ, is to trust Him. It's to trust Him with your life. It's to trust Him with your body and soul. It's to trust Him for your eternal destiny. It's to trust Him to forgive your sins and deal with your sins and reconcile you to God. Who and what are you trusting in to do that for you? If there's anybody but Jesus Christ, you're not on a rock. You're not standing on a rock. The rock. You're on sinking sand. And my friends, when the storm of God's judgment comes, you're going to be washed away in that flood. In the storm of God's judgment. No, my friends, turning from your idols and trusting in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. To serve God. Who are you serving today? Have you heard that song by Bob Dylan, the folk singer? You gotta trust somebody, he says. You gotta trust somebody. The world not everybody else. That's what sin is, my friends. Selfishness to the uttermost. Self-serving sinners are damnable sinners. But sinners who serve God, who turn from their idols to serve God, well, they're another breed altogether. But that's what you must turn from, your idols, and you must turn to God to serve God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And how do you serve God? But by obeying Him, submitting to Him, submitting to His law, submitting to His commandments. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, violence, drugs, anything else. Serving God, obeying, living according to God's commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Fornication, sex outside of marriage, holy matrimony. Sex outside of marriage, that's what fornication is. Sodomy, two men, two women, that's not marriage. That's what the Bible calls sodomy, my friends. That's not permitted under the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Shacking up with another man's wife, shacking up with another man's husband. Adultery, my friends, adultery. This is an adulterous generation, a fornicating, sodomizing generation, and the judgment of wrath of God hangs upon it because of these things, because of these crimes against God and against your neighbor. To serve God, my friends, is to live in obedience, in submission to His commandments, to do that which He commands you to do, and that is to love God and to love your neighbor, not to be self-serving. To love God and to love your neighbor. But when you're aborting that child, you're not loving your neighbor, you're hating your neighbor. According to the World Health Organization, there have been, in the space of one year, 56 million, the world over, 56 million children ripped from their mother's wombs in the name of abortion. Slaughtered, killed, my friends, in contrary disobedience to the command of God, thou shalt not kill. And you tell me, you come to me and you tell me that lives matter? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're liars. You're liars. Lives do not matter to you. You slaughter the unborn day after day. You take children unborn, never seen the light of day. Huh? Never taken their first breath. Never thought their first thought. Never get a chance. What do you think that child in the womb would say to its mother and father? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Murderers. Manslayers. God will bring coming to take vengeance upon you. Because you don't know God. You've never come to know Him. You might know religion. You might know Charles Darwin. You might know all kinds of people. But not knowing God, my friends, whom you ought to know. Knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom He sent. This is eternal life, says Jesus. But you don't know God. When the Son of God appears from heaven, you're in serious bother. You're an object of His vengeance. But for those who have believed, for those who have trusted in Him, the true and living God, Jesus Christ, for them, they will be an object of His admiration. Not because of anything they've done, not because they're not sinners, not because of anything in them, but because of the grace of God, because of the grace that's been given to them by the gospel. They heard the gospel. They heard the call of the gospel. And by the grace of God, they were enabled to believe the gospel. They were enabled to trust in Jesus. Whereas you, who rejected it, you who said, no, I will not come to Him that I might have life. You who said, no, I don't want your Jesus. No, your Jesus doesn't exist. No, I'm quite happy with my religiosity. You, my friends, will be an object of His vengeance in that day.
Can you don't sell the bullshit?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Don't sell the bullshit.
Go and wash your mouth out. That'd be a good start. So even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Huh? That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's the salvation you need. Delivering from the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God is all over you like a rash. The wrath of God's over you like a rash. These people here to my right were complaining to my buddy that he wasn't talking about love. What do they know about love? And what have you got to do with the love of God? The wrath of God's upon you. Check it out. Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, hold down the truth in unrighteousness. My dear friends, the wrath of God lies upon the entirety of an apostate humanity. And that wrath is what you need delivering from. That damnation is what you need delivering from. Soon, quickly, very soon, even today. And there's only one person who can take the wrath of God from off of you. Deliver you from the wrath of God. And His name is Jesus. That's why He came. That's universe, in all eternity, in all the world, who can do it? Christ Jesus, who is alive from the dead. God's prophet, God's priest, and God's king. King Jesus. King Jesus, enthroned, ruling. Ruling throughout the universe. Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says. Why not Buddha? Why not the Pope? Why not Muhammad? Because them's all dead and dying, that's why. Jesus Christ is alive from the dead and alive forevermore. Jesus Christ is Lord. And He alone can deliver you from the wrath to come. Obey His call today. The call of the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Birmingham. Repent ye and believe the gospel.